The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bonjour, hi, candidates. Friday, I'm Hugh Hewitt on the West Coast today. I am so glad that you've decided to wake up with me, get to going to work today. I'm so glad that I can be in your ear for a couple hours, 3 hours. It's a Friday, so we do things different. Hillsdale Dialogue coming up in the third hour. All things Hillsdale at hillsdale.edu. In fact, I got Larry Arnn coming in an hour early so we can talk about the Chicago school strike. Today's January 7th, Friday, the day after a media orgy over the riot in the Capitol, the very dangerous, very violent riot in the Capitol of a year ago yesterday, which menaced the vice president, the speaker, and many people and will never be downplayed. It was a murderous, murderous riot. However, we also won't upplay it, and we will not distort what it was, the actions of 725 people arrested thus far. And when you think about that, Vice President Harris's speech yesterday is one that will go down in infamy. The Vice President, cut number one.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing when our democracy came under assault. Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
All right, just stop. That's going to stick to her like glue, because 75 to 95% of Americans think that nuts. I'm not talking about the 5% on the far left who watch MSNBC and CNN. They've got their a million people a night. I'm talking to 6 million people right now. You all know that's nuts. I know that's nuts. And most of the country knows that's nuts. The world knows that's nuts. Twitter has persuaded people that they can say anything they want and not have it stick because it doesn't stick on Twitter. But it's not true. That's nuts. And for the Vice President of the United States to say it is going to stick. Play the money part. Cut number one.
Dates that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And January 6th, 2021.
Now, I know what happened on January 6th. I know that I was tweeting at the time that the president needed to take action and stop the mob, that it was outrageous, that people could get killed. And I know that people like the senators and the representatives and the staff will never forget being in a room that was under assault. I have a buddy, Mark, who may be listening, who's at the Navy Yard in D.C. when a terrorist attacked Matt. I know as well that everyone has been at any mass shooting. I have a friend who was in the crowd at Las Vegas when the most number of people ever murdered on a single night. We'll never forget that. But you ask other Americans who weren't there when the violence occurred, they know about those events, just like I just mentioned too, the Navy Yard shooting, the Las Vegas shooting. I can mention Columbine. You won't remember the date or the year, just acts of violence. That's what's going to be January 6th, despite the best efforts of the legacy media DNC division and Democrats who turned that into something it wasn't. It was a murderous, violent crowd surrounded by a mob that is a shameful day in our history, but it was not an attack on democracy. That's just stupid. And it's going to stick to Kamala Harris as a defiant. Do you notice the vice president went before the president? And the president didn't say anything that dumb because the president set her up to satisfy the hard left. They must have written her speech for her. And she didn't notice. Say, I'm not saying that. No way. The president got his jibes in at the former president. Cut number two.
He's not just a former president. He's a defeated former president.
Stop right there. Somehow that strikes me as being he wants Donald Trump to run. Democrats want Donald Trump to run. They realize that he's probably the only guy they can beat, and they're not sure about that. They're certainly going to lose if they nominate Kamala Harris, and Joe Biden isn't going to run again, and you and I know that. But he's trying to goad the former president. So you're the defeated former president like Jimmy Carter and George H.W. Bush. Defeated. Yes. Not out. And I think that's just an attempt to encourage the former president to come back. Because they think he's easiest to beat. And he's probably easier to beat than Ron DeSantis, Tom Cotton, Mike Pompeo, Ted Cruz, or Tim Scott. Probably a lot easier to beat than any of those five. But it's childish. Everything about yesterday was childish. The excess. Democracies cannot absorb this much excessive attention to their bad days while they ignore the gathering crisis abroad. The Supreme Court today is hearing arguments on the two federal government vaccine mandates. I expect, as the Wall Street Journal does, they'll be quickly dispatched under the major rule test, which is, you know, unless you can show it to us explicitly as being intended to be a delegated power from Congress to the agency involved, in this case, OSHA and the Medicaid agencies, it ain't going to fly. I hope they go further and actually limit Chevron. We will see. Mortgage interest rates have hit their highest level since spring of 2020. I'll talk to you about that when Andrew and Todd's comes around. No school in Chicago today. Second straight day that Chicago teachers should be fired. Second straight day they should be fired. They absolutely should be fired. They haven't been fired. Let me go back, by the way. There's some other audio. Well, let me run very quickly. Remote instruction is bad for mom and dad. Corey DeAngelis and Christos Makridis today wrote that in the Wall Street Journal. Absolute must reading. Police are stepping up the patrol of New York subways, Eric Adams, the new mayor, says. That's very good. Eric Adams continues to impress with common sense, unlike other Democrats. Virginia Democrats aim to block Trump EPA chief, Andrew Wheeler. My son worked for Andrew Wheeler, so I have to disclose that back in the day. Andrew Wheeler is a really smart guy, and I hope he becomes Secretary of Natural Resources. Maybe he needs a deputy. I would like that. I know endangered species, and I think we could take care of a lot of problems together in Virginia. Andrew Wheeler is a smart, smart guy. He came to the Nixon Library and gave the anniversary, the 50th anniversary speech of EPA. Very impressive man. Russia has sent forces to Kazakhstan as Putin loses a little bit of an edge in Ukraine. They are trying to expand their influence, according to the New York Times. Putin's just trying to rebuild the old Soviet Union. Not going to work. My favorite story of the day. With beer, rum, and chocolate, Taiwan rallies behind Lithuania in spat with China. That's great. Taiwanese are rallying to support the East European country as it faces retaliation from Beijing for drawing closer to Taiwan, whose democratically elected government has few diplomatic allies. With China ramping up pressure on the island, which it regards as its territory, and is threatened to seize by force, the Baltic nation of 3 million, which resisted Soviet oppression in the 20th century, has emerged as a champion of Taiwan. Go Lithuania, go Taiwan. Love that story. I want to remind everyone that in August of last year, Reuters, I hold it in my hand, found that there was scant evidence that the U.S. Capitol attack was coordinated. Just want you to know that. I do want you to know I keep track of the latest prosecution level. 725 people have been arrested and prosecuted for the riot at the Capitol. And of those, 75 were charged with using a deadly or dangerous weapon. 140 police officers were victims of the attack. 640 people were charged with entering a restricted federal building or its grounds. 75 were charged with entering a restricted area with a deadly weapon. So I think we got a hardcore group of between 75 and 150 people max. And then we have 600 yo-yos and who are going to pay for it. But really, Kamala Harris, 9/11, really? Pearl Harbor, are you out of your mind? Fire your speechwriters and come right back, America, to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
States that occupy not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
Welcome back, America. It's Friday, time for the movies. I just had to play for Sonny Bunch, the official movie critic of the Hugh Hewitt Show, the vice president's memorably bad line. There are lots of movies about Pearl Harbor, and there are lots of movies about 9/11. I'm not sure there are any movies yet about January 6th. There might be in the future, but Sonny Bunch, when a line is badly delivered, it's memorable and it sticks. What do you think about the vice president's delivery in her comparison, since you're a theater critic, just on a theatrical basis, with 9/11 and Pearl Harbor Day and January 6th?
Yeah, sure. It's dumb. It's a dumb comparison, and it shouldn't be made. And there were lots of dumb things about yesterday. I mean, like having the cast of Hamilton, you know, perform in front of live on Zoom for the time, whatever. Idiotic. It's idiotic, and it's dumb. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is, you know, January 6th didn't have to be as bad as 9/11 or Pearl Harbor Day to be very, very bad. And the fact that there are so many Republicans who cannot admit that what happened was very bad.
Well, you know, I don't think there are many Republicans as an actual prime number, you know, as an actual whole number that don't, it was very bad. There were people with murderous intent. They might have killed the vice president and the speaker. There was a riot. People died. And I like to point out, though, people don't remember where they were when the Las Vegas shooting happened, which is the most people killed in a single act of mass violence in the United States history by a lone gunman or Columbine. They don't remember. I mean, there are violent days and terrible days every day. Philadelphia fire yesterday, you know, I think 13 people died. I just wanted to point out that the vice president's poorly delivered line sticks, that when you say something like that, the showmen out there and the political theater people out there and the ad makers don't forget. Now, Sonny, I want to turn. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hugh, since you bring it up, yes, I agree. Terribly delivered line. There's a reason Kamala Harris is a very, very bad politician who could not get out of the Democratic primary and is going to get slaughtered if she tries to run for president. Like, she's not a very good politician. That's fine. You know, the fact that, again, the fact that the only Republicans on the floor of the House during the January 6th commemoration were Liz Cheney and her father, Dick Cheney, who until very recently was pretty beloved by Republicans, is a shocking thing, and looks very bad.
No, it's not. It's not shocking.
The fact that you have Ted Cruz debasing himself on Tucker Carlson last night. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I'm always asleep by Tucker, but it's not. Wait, Sonny, stop. Time out. Time out. I don't want to do a Bulwark Hugh Hewitt argument.
No. This would be a fun clip to show people him debasing himself on Tucker Carlson, apologizing, groveling for saying that it was a horrible terrorist attack. I mean, it was embarrassing. It's embarrassing for him. It's embarrassing for the party.
I want to go back to Liz and the vice president. Nobody beats me in respect for the vice president, who's been my guest many times, and I've been a guest of his, and he's been a guest of mine. He's been in the studio so many times, and Liz Cheney is a friend with whom I have some disagreements about this Rump Committee, but who is a great voice for freedom for many, many decades. There is no reason to engage in theater if the theater is bad. And I know that you've got colleagues at the Bulwark who obsess on this and think that it is. They won't be as stupid as the vice president. They'll couch it in terms like you did. But to take the particular and define the whole from that, I don't know what Ted did on Tucker. I mean, really, this is the problem with America, is that the cable news shows dominate news discussion, and they're not news. It's theater. Except for Brett Baer's show, there isn't a new show left in America. And when you have people saying stupid things on both ends of the spectrum, I could spend all day with stupid things said on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, but I don't. And Sonny, it's not good for the country to focus on stupid things.
Well, fine. That's fine. And I agree with that. And, you know, Kamala Harris said a stupid thing. And, you know, lots of people said stupid things. Again, it doesn't really matter to me if people compare it to 9/11. What matters to me is the fact that Donald Trump puts out a statement, you know, saying, I actually won the election.
Well, that's wrong. He did not win the election. I asked.
And the fact that so few Republicans will say, no, Donald Trump, you didn't
win the election. No, Sonny, but not too. Not that few Republicans. You don't find any Republican saying he won. I mean, you do not find a single senator saying that Donald Trump won. Not one. You don't find a single elected member. They manage the political fallout from January 6th with their own party's interest in mind. But both sides of the both the Never Trump and the always Democratic side attempt to turn a bad day. Excuse my voice. It's shot this morning. I've been screaming at the Browns all week. And they try and take a bad day and turn it into a historic occasion of doom. And I just think it's stupid and that normal people should say both sides of pox on your house, both extremist sides, the Never Trumpers and the always Trumpers. There are two sides and they're both bad.
I don't think they're equally bad, Hugh, because, I mean, look, I am a Never Trumper and I am very, very comfortable.
You're not a Never Trumper. You hang out with Never Trumpers. You're not a Never Trumper.
Donald Trump, we can discuss what a Never Trumper is another time, maybe. But again, if we're talking about political theater, like I tweeted this yesterday. Look, the thing I remember about January 6th is coming out of a podcast booth and seeing an insane number of people, you know, trying to scale the walls of the Capitol complex.
Terrible
thing. Oh my God, this is horrible. What is happening? There's a literal riot going on in Capitol Hill. And,
correct.
I've never seen anything like this before. It was historic, Hugh.
I don't argue. Exactly correct. Here's how you tell if you're a Never Trumper, Sonny. Do more than 50% of the things that you write or tweet mention Trump?
Well, I have other interests.
There you go. Yeah. You're not a Never Trumper. Never Trumpers are addicted to Trump, just like always Trumpers are addicted to Trump. It's not healthy. It destroys writers. It destroys imagination. It destroys the ability to think. It destroys reputations for seriousness. And that's the test. If 50% of the things that you write or tweet mention Trump, you're a never or an always Trumper. They're the same.
Well, this is why I like to write about movies, because otherwise I would just...
Let's talk. Now, tell me about Spider-Man, the movie. I mentioned that I had seen it to my 7-year-old grandson. I said, I get to go. I said, no, you don't. I think it's a wonderful film, but what do you think?
Do you think it's inappropriate for a 7-year-old? Do you think that's
I think it's way too scary. Yeah.
I mean, I could see that.
Marissa Tomei does not meet with a good end here.
Well, sure, let's not spoil it. Spider-Man No Way Home is the biggest movie in the last 3 years or so. I mean, it's doing huge business. It's grossed $1.4 billion worldwide without China. It's worth noting. It has not been released in China, and it is still putting up, you know, kind of historic numbers here, which is interesting and kind of a good sign for folks who are looking to wean themselves off of China. But Spider-Man No Way Home is, I mean, look, it's an MCU movie, so there's a baseline of confidence that's very, very high. If you like Spider-Man movies, and this draws on Spider-Man movies throughout the last 20 years, I mean, the superhero comic book era really kicked off, comic book movie era really kicked off in 2002, with Spider-Man properly. It was huge, massive movie, did amazing business. You know, since then, we've had Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and now Tom Holland as Spider-Man, and they've had a bunch of villains. And this movie kind of pulls everything together, pulls all of the bad guys from those movies into this universe, and the Tom Holland Spidey has to fight them all. Doctor Strange is there. Again, it is very much an MCU movie. It is very connected with the other films in that series, but it is also its own thing. And I thought it was very, very good. I mean, I'm a fan of these movies in general, or certainly a fan of the Spider-Man movies. And I thought this did a very good job of kind of...
Let me ask you, if you had my first reaction, I saw it with a hardcore MCU friend, John, who listens to you talk about it. And my first comment was, do you understand the contractual complexities involved in making that movie? As a lawyer, I was thinking, my gosh, how long did the negotiations for this take? And that must have been an astonishingly complex deal.
Well, I mean, just getting working more than contract schedules, right? It's just making sure that all of these actors, who all of whom could either be the number one or number two banana in a movie on their own, guys like Jamie Foxx, or Alfred Molina, or you know, some of the actors who are in it. Just getting them all together on set is a logistical nightmare. And I think, in my understanding, I can't talk about this on the record, my understanding is that there are also actors who they wanted to be in it and just couldn't get it to work in terms of scheduling and all that. So it's a real thing. It's a real you know, difficult thing to juggle. And the fact that they were able to pull it off as well as they did, and put together a story that is both coherent and pretty pretty poignant at times is a real tribute to the folks there.
Okay, a last question for you on this, because I want to know what to watch this weekend. Is when you're done, do you think Tom Holland is done in the MCU?
No, I would be surprised if they don't keep going with his stories here, in part just because he is very popular. And it's hard to come off a movie like this, and you can't have a movie that grosses, you know, whatever this will end up grossing, $750 million domestically, something like that, and replace the star of it. I mean, I don't really see how you do that. The question will be what kind of raise he gets more than anything else.
Okay, 1 minute. What else should we see?
All right, I'll do rapid fire here, because we haven't been on in a couple weeks.
No.
Let's see. Avoid The Matrix Resurrections.
Knew that from your tweets.
Don't go see that. Not very good. It's on HBO Max. If you have to see it, watch it on HBO Max. Don't go to theaters and waste your time and money there. There's a movie on Apple TV Plus called Swan Song, which stars Mahershala Ali, the two-time Oscar winner. He's playing a kind of double role, himself and a clone of himself. The premise of the film, it's a bit like a Black Mirror episode, the Netflix sci-fi speculative fiction series. But the premise is he's dying of a disease and transfers his memories into a new body, so his family will not lose him. It's very heartfelt, touching, and poignant. He is a great actor. It is worth watching for his acting performance. Bit of a downer. Don't go into that one expecting a real super uplifting thing, but very, very good.
One more.
Licorice Pizza. Licorice Pizza is in theaters everywhere now. It's the new one from Paul Thomas Anderson.
I loved it
quite a bit.
I loved it.
It's a little bit long. It's 2.5 hours or so. It's a kind of a Shaggy Dog.
Yeah, let's talk about that next week instead of Never Trump, Always Trump. Okay, we'll talk about Licorice Pizza next week. Sonny Bunch, the official movie critic of the Hewitt Show. Listen to his podcast, Across the Movie Aisle, and the bulwark goes to the movies. Thank you, Sonny. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, to my new affiliates in Oklahoma City and Charleston, West Virginia, and the Delaware suburbs of Philadelphia, Palm Springs. Every Friday, I do a little bit of sports with Doug LeMaurice of Cleveland.com. He is the host, along with Shahan Jayaraja, of the College Football Survivor Show podcast. And the College Football Survivor Show podcast is really the best podcast about college football out there. Good morning, Doug. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Hugh.
Now, I listened to you and Shahan talk about the national championship game coming up, and you did your best to make me interested in this game, but I still think Alabama's going to myrtleize Georgia again. So how do you get – what do television executives do to persuade themselves that Georgia isn't going to get myrtleized again?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it is hard, Hugh, because Georgia's best players are on defense. They don't have, like, the superstar quarterback that you often see in a game like this. And they're going up against a legend. And in a game like this, I mean, Georgia recruits, Hugh, almost at the same level that Alabama does. But you watch what Nick Saban does at Alabama in situations like this, and you figure, like, he probably has a plan, Hugh. He's gotten this
far. He's got a plan.
So it's a little bit of a tough sell when Alabama went out and beat Georgia a month ago.
How do you think family vacations are in the Saban family? You think that they have like 5 minutes of unscheduled time a day?
I mean, one of the defining characteristics to me, I think, of Nick Saban in this era when he's won 6 national titles at Alabama is the moments when he's hoisting a national championship trophy. I just can sort of see on his face that he's like thinking about what's next.
Yeah, he's right? Belichick, but without the bellicosity. So,
yeah.
Doug, I want to switch. It's a great podcast. People should go get the College Football Survivor Show podcast on the national championship game because it will give you as interesting a look at next week's game as possible. I have to ask you about one of your colleagues and one of my favorite writers, Mary Kay. What's wrong with Baker? Honest to goodness, Mary Kay is being his biggest supporter. I listen to every Orange and Brown podcast, literally every one. She's his biggest supporter in Cleveland. She writes a story that says he might be done, and he goes ballistic, and then we get DeShone Kizer, and, I mean, we got half the jersey coming after her. It's just not fair.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, Hugh, you know it. The other people that you cover have a right to critique what you say and give their side of it. I did think, you know, when Baker Mayfield tweeted about something Mary Kay wrote, I did think it got unnecessarily personal.
Yeah.
I do think with Baker Mayfield.
Oops, go ahead.
It's a lot of the same kind of thing where everything that makes Baker great is also what makes him maybe difficult in a situation like this.
That's well said. He lives with an intensity that most of us cannot maintain or we would burn out by 25.
All the good and the bad all comes from the same place.
Well, I just think everyone should be aware of who your friends are. And Mary Kay is actually a friend of his. Now, let's go into what happens to College Football Survivor Show. You can't stop this for 5 months. What are you going to do? Because I'm now addicted to my regular podcast after my political work is done. What are you and Shahan going to do after this game? You'll critique the game, obviously. Then what?
Yeah, we would like to delve into the playoff, I think, too. So Shahan is very enthusiastic about it, which is great because we want to keep it going. We would like to try to interview people who have been members of the College Football Playoff Committee, how their thinking works, how that process works. I think we'd like to dive into some of the best and worst things in the 8-year history of the playoff so far. And then we'll start analyzing again the current college football programs, who's set up to really be a playoff contender and who's not. There was such change this offseason, Hugh, that I think we can really reevaluate some of the best programs at the top, from Notre Dame to LSU to USC to Oklahoma, all these programs that are changing and trying to see, hey, are they positioning themselves to make a run in this new era?
Yes, USC Resurrection is going to be a great movie. Let me ask you, last question, Doug LaMaurice. If you could go back, know what you know now, to the beginning, the last meeting of the College Football Playoff Committee, give them all the data, which four teams would they choose if they wanted the best games among the best teams to represent college football in the semifinals?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I do think we've entered this era, if you were, the semifinals have not been very competitive. I think that's more about this year that Bama and Georgia maybe were just a cut above everybody else. I do think Ohio State's offense had a chance to match up better. I thought Michigan just got caught in a bad matchup against Georgia. So you have to throw on Georgia. Ohio State would have had a chance to do that. But, man, Ohio State's defense didn't really stop anybody good this year.
No, it would have been a scoring machine. Utah would have been better than Michigan. I actually think maybe Utah and Ohio State, they put on a show, they would have been good victims for Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, I think that's possible. And I thought Cincinnati in some ways did play pretty well against Alabama. They just couldn't throw the ball, and that was a problem.
Yeah, you got to have some offense if you're going to play with the big boys. Doug LaMaurice, the College Football Survivor Show podcast. Can't recommend it high enough. We'll talk about the National Football Championship game next week at this time. Follow him on Twitter at Doug LaMaurice. Go to Cleveland.com for all of his podcasts. And don't forget the College Football Survivor Show podcast. Don't go anywhere, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Welcome, everybody. I have Dr. Larry Arnn. He's coming back next hour with Stephen Smith to talk about Henry IV, Part 1. But I asked him to come in early to talk about the Chicago school strike, where every Chicago teacher has voted not to work despite the demand that the school district come in, despite the declaration of the mayor that there is no danger to the teachers and that they have to have schools open. I am convinced, Larry Arnn, and you've been in education a long time, that a tipping point has been reached about public education. Do you sense that in America after 2 years of the pandemic? You've kept Hillsdale open. Your kids are coming back to school. But what do you think about public education? We did the charter school program together in December, and we heard a lot of this. But now I'm just convinced this is going to be a tipping point.
Well, the spirit of it, this is a product of the spirit that is developed in public education and everywhere else in government, right? There's many things that are vital and great about public education, and it stems from the American Revolution. But like everything else in the government now, it is bureaucratized and centralized. Bureaucratized means complex rules made by experts very far from the scene of action, and centralized means ultimate control is in big government, in the states and in the federal government. So, and one of the effects of that is the people who work in the public schools, you know, the great teachers in the public schools are often disaffected because they don't get a chance to teach. And they obviously don't have the spirit that we're here to serve these students. And what a terrible thing for a teacher not to think that. And the stuff they teach. Remember what Terry McAuliffe defeated for governor of Virginia on his second time of running? What he said was, parents shouldn't have anything to do with what they teach in school. That's a shocking thing to say.
Now, Doug Ducey has warned in Arizona, if any school district shuts down, he will emancipate the students that he can by grants of money to go to private school. I think Glenn Youngkin is praying that some school district pulls this stunt in Virginia so that he can fire everyone. It is a moment for red state governors, and I don't think anyone in Florida dare strike Ron DeSantis. It's really a moment of decision for governors.
Yeah, and see, remember, Virginia is a blue state.
Yes.
Right? And why? And this Loudoun County stuff, that happened in a blue county. And that's one of the most hopeful things to me, not because I favor red over blue, though I do. I just think that parents love their children, and if that stops happening, nature itself is dead. And, in the recent Imprimis, that's what I write about.
Okay,
oh. It's called The Way Out. And I say that there are two extremely hopeful signs. And one is, I pick a particular man, Mitch Spangler in Jonesville, Michigan, who wouldn't close his diner and ask in the pandemic. He's going to lose his business, 50-year-old business. And so he kept it open, and he fought legal battles to do it. And we actually helped him some with those. And the other is those parents in Loudoun County. They still think that they are responsible for their children and what they're doing to them, right? They're teaching them. What does critical race theory mean? It means that accidental factors, and that's a logical term. It means your color is accidental. It's not fundamental to what you are. What you are, a human being, is a reasoning being with an immaterial and immortal soul. And so if you start teaching them that they don't have that, you deprive them both of the ability and the motive to learn. And the parents, you know, they don't quite put that argument together the way I did out of Aristotle, but they see it, right?
They intuit it.
Yeah.
They get there.
Isn't it obvious, right? I mean, I have my new granddaughter, the greatest, the most precious being on earth, I call her. And she's... You know, she is an end unto herself, and she's not something anybody would use for anything.
Yeah.
She's not something anybody would... We think of teaching now as making. That is to say, we're going to make them into something. And by the way, this laps over extensively into the Republican Party, too, although it's getting better about this. What education is like gardening. It's like helping something grow. But the growth is in the something, and it can only thrive if you help it grow into its nature. And so we think we're doing, in government everywhere now, we think we're doing something to people instead of representing them. And that's the danger.
If you recall, when Obamacare approached, the Tea Party sprung up. and it was early in the Obama administration. I think what's going to be the reaction in 2022 is going to dwarf the Tea Party, because people have had it with government in ways that they've never. And it's not, they're not anti-vaxxers. They're not fringe voices. They have had it with government. And this is a moment, especially parents have had it with government.
Yeah. And see, why is the last run at the filibuster to get an election bill passed? Right. I think that's testimony to the likelihood of what you just said.
They're afraid. Oh, yes.
And, you know, it won't, you know, if you try to run a regime in which you live people's lives for them, a regulation for everything, your business operated and your job on sufferance from the government from day to day, constantly interfered with, and the authority of parents over children constantly interfered with, people are not going to like that.
Oh, I've got friends who do not want me to tell their stories on the air about their businesses because they don't want inspectors to come and shut them down.
Right. We have, you know, back in the day when I first met you, that's 400 years ago now.
Yep.
I went on a panel at the some big California industrial group to debate somebody from the California Air Resources Board. Can't remember who it was. And I asked a question. It was the most dramatic thing in the whole debate. I said, ask yourself, audience, this question. Would you be afraid to stand up right now and criticize the California Air Resources Board? And there was dead silence.
Yeah.
And heads nodding everywhere. Right? And you know, She wanted to claim that I'm the evil one, but the only power that I possess is the power to persuade. And you know, that's not a tyrannical power. That's an argument power. So that's where we're getting to now. We are trying, and we can control so much. Partly it's computers. Partly it's very much the size of government. You know, elections can be controlled now. And what we need is laws that are fair, that let people vote how they want, and it's assured that they're eligible to vote by citizenship, and they just get to vote once. And they
just
vote one, themselves.
Easy to vote, hard to cheat. And all right, I just wanted to check in with you. Come back next hour, we'll do Shakespeare, but I wanted to do a little politics. And the Imprimis, people can sign up for that right now, can't they?
That's right.
Head over to Hillsdale.
The way out.
Yeah, the way out. Hillsdale.edu. You can subscribe to Imprimis. It's free. They send out millions of them every month, and you can actually read something that will lift your eyes up. Thank you, Dr. Arnn, for coming in early. Talk to you next hour.
Thank you, Hugh.
I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Joined now by Tarzana Joe, Poet Laureate of The Hugh Hewitt Show. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Hugh. I may have to change my name because I'm now coming to you from the newly named city of Fluronia. Here on the West Coast, where we have had our first melange of flu and coronavirus, so we're hunkering down again here. But we press on with poetry. The best advice I've ever heard that sages ever shared was set out in two simple words, and they are: be prepared. Put aside for rainy days. Plan with stricter stringency. No matter what the data says, there's going to be contingency. The experts guessed that Delta was the second wave and final, but we see that wasn't etched in stone. It was embossed on vinyl. Joe believed those experts. He took their tip and bet it. The virus would just fade away, and he would get the credit. What other explanation, since no expense was spared, could find us in this circumstance with Joe so unprepared? Now medicines are rationed, and testing is a joke. Just like Obama's website, the government is broke. like droughty California, where we have precipitation, but no one's building reservoirs. Now, that's not preparation. And if you go out driving in the winter where it snows, take some food and blankets, or you'll likely lose your toes.
Oh.
Hope that Tesla's fully charged. That keeps the engine humming. Because if you're in Virginia, the government's not coming. And that, friends, is my message. Clear and written large. Ah, for good old golden days when Boy Scouts were in charge. That's Be Prepared by Tarzana Joe.
Joe, that's wonderful. And it's cutting for a Commonwealth citizen as I am. But it was so, so true about the I-95 this week. Nobody was prepared. So they all ought to go and read Be Prepared, which will be at TarzanaJoe.com, I assume.
Indeed it will. Thank you.
And did anyone make a New Year's resolution to get their poetry commissioned to you early at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com?
As a matter of fact, I had three requests last week, and they're all for May, June, and July. I mean,
being prepared.
Yes.
That is terrific. So if you need poetry at any time this year, a wedding, a farewell party, an anniversary, go to Joe at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. Rates are reasonable. I can't guarantee the quality, but no one's ever been disappointed yet. He is getting older, though, so we don't know.
Thank you.
Shakespeare did his best work, though, at the end.
We don't know that for sure, but
I think Lear was last, wasn't it?
Oh, you'll have to consult the. I don't know if that was the last. He was considering. Let's say he was considering the end of his life at that point.
I will talk to Stephen Smith of Hillsdale about that. Meanwhile, TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com for all your poetry needs. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, you.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.